words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable unto thee, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. I really enjoyed preparing this homily for today for a number of reasons. And I wish I had more time. We could make a whole study series on this service today. The title of today's homily is The Power of Prayer on this fifth Sunday in Easter. Ironically, this is the third Sunday in a row where we have heard a gospel lesson from one chapter, chapter 16 of St. John. This is the third. The last two Sundays all came out of one chapter. That's a bit unusual. But so is today being a bit unusual in the fact that today is Rogation Day. The verb rogation comes from the Latin rogare, meaning to ask. And Webster's dictionary describes rogation as twofold. Number one, a solemn prayer or supplication, especially as chanted during rogation days. Or number two, the 3 days of prayer preceding Ascension Day. Ecclesiastically, Rogation Sunday prepares us for the next Sunday, Ascensiontide, which follows actually Ascension Day, which is this coming Thursday. Today's lesson is a great foundation for today's message, for it guides us on methods of prayer and teaches us how we are to pray. In this passage, Jesus is giving his last instructions to his apostles on prayer. Soon he will be ascending to heaven, having completed his 40 days on earth since his crucifixion and resurrection. In verse 23, our early church father, St. Augustine of Hippo, interprets Jesus' saying, which was, "Whatever ye ask in my name," to mean everything that is not contrary to everlasting salvation. In other words, if you ask for someone to go to hell, as the heathens do, God will not answer that prayer, because it is contrary to salvation. So whatever you pray, you shall receive it at a time when it is most convenient for you, according to God's will. Sometimes we pray and we expect an immediate answer. It may be weeks, years, or years in the making, but God will answer your prayer. Here Jesus is instructing his apostles on the power of prayer, and it just occurred to me, like I said, I really enjoyed working on this homily. In a way, this was the early Southern Belle days. I mean, this is the earliest Southern Belle days. Jesus was getting ready to depart from his apostles and go to heaven, and then he was leaving them instructions. Now I'm going to be gone, but you won't be able to write any letters to me, but you can call me on the phone by prayer. In St. Matthew 6, chapters 6, verses 5 through 13, we are given several steps how to pray. First, Jesus says, when you pray, you're not to act as hypocrites who grandstand and wish for all to see. Second, when you pray, find a special place and designate it as a place for prayer, for your Father will hear you and respond to you. Third, when you pray, do not repeat yourself as the Gentiles do, thinking that they will be heard for their repetitive request. And fourth, perhaps the most important lesson to remember, is that your Father already knows what you need before you ask. As a background, you may recall one of Jesus' disciples asked, "Lord, teach us how to pray." And his response was this, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." This opening acknowledges to whom the prayer is intended. And here we offer our praise to him who created heaven and earth. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Here we acknowledge Christ's promise to return, and we accept his will for us in this world and in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Here we claim God's promise to provide our every need, both physically, mentally, and spiritually. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Here we seek God's repentance of our sins, and in turn, we afford the same mercy to others who have offended us. In Matthew 6:15, Jesus tells us, if we cannot forgive one another, then how can we expect God to forgive us? This verse gives us reason to forgive others even when we think it is entirely impossible. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Here we ask for God's strength to resist the physical and material temptations of this world, and his protection from any and all forms of evil. For Protestants, a doxology is added. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. For the record, Catholics do not end the prayer with the Protestant doxology. It was added during the Reformation some 500 years ago. In St. Matthew 6:9, Jesus ends the prayer with, "But deliver us from evil." The consensus by most reformers was that man was created to worship and praise God, so the doxology was needed to fulfill that commandment. In retrospect, had Jesus said this doxology, he would be speaking about himself, and that is why we do not read this in the Scriptures. Now, there are many types of prayer, and this is where we could really get into a great discussion. For instance, there is silent prayer, public prayer, group prayer, meditative prayer, morning prayer, evening prayer, corporate prayers, labyrinth prayers, healing prayers, colics, compline, invocations, benedictions, and there's also one of my favorites is the breathing prayer. You know, we can pray by breathing. When we exhale, the Holy Spirit is actually praying for us. Try it for a moment. You just gave a prayer. That prayer was from your soul, from the Holy Spirit directly to God. Prayer is no more than talking to God, like we just referred to as the Southern Belle, the early days of Southern Belle. I guess there's a Northeast Belle or a Western Belle, but we like Southern Belle down here, don't we? So, as a sidebar, y'all remember Southern Belle?
I do.
Do you remember your early phone number? I remember mine.
I remember mine. 130.
What? Boy, that was way back then.
Well, I'm kidding. You don't have to rub it in.
I'm not. I'm sorry. Well, we had five numbers when I remember.
Oh, well, you just
well. In fact, we didn't even have a prefix back then. Our prefix for the Florence area was, you remember, I know you know.
No,
yes, you do.
Not going to say anymore.
Not going to say anymore. I'm kidding. I'll give you a hug after the service. Mohawk.
Yeah.
That was the area. So our number was Mohawk 21826. It was ingrained in us in kindergarten. So if we got lost or whatever, you know, we would call the operator and say Mohawk 21826. Anyhow, a little sidebar. The key ingredient for a power of prayer is that we should pray for good things, not bad things. For instance, we cannot ask God to do harm to someone we dislike or to send them into outer darkness. Neither can we pray for things that are contrary to nature. We cannot pray to fly like birds. We cannot pray to run as fast as cheetahs. Nor can we pray that we can swim as fast as sharks. That's contrary to nature. And we certainly cannot leap tall buildings in a single bound nor run faster than a speeding train like Superman, although he did have kryptonite. Yet we may have something. In fact, I can say we do have something even more powerful. In fact, the Scripture says we have something so powerful that it can move mountains. And what we have is the power of God. Remember, the power within us is more powerful than the power that is in the world. It is the power of love that is celebrated in the song from a range of vocalists, including the Everly Brothers, Charlie Pride, Arlo Guthrie, Luther Vandross, to Huey Lewis and the News. Love, the Scripture tells us, has the power to overcome a multitude of sins. Further, the Gospel says, "Whatever you ask, ask of the Father in my name, and he will give it to you." The Scripture adds that we should ask in the name of Jesus Christ. Why? Because when we pray to God through the name of Jesus, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who is the propitiation of our sins, and by virtue as the only Son of God, he hears his Son's request. You may say, "Father Hayes, God hears all prayers." Indeed, he does when we're in communion with him. What do I mean by this? In communion, I mean that we have to be repentant and pure in heart. And as we saw in the Lord's Prayer, we first acknowledge to whom the prayer is given. Then we praise and worship Him. Then we offer sincere repentance of our sins. And once we are reconciled with Him, He hears our prayers. And allow me to state this precept another way. Biblical scholars tell us that when we enter in prayer, we have a starting point from sin. And since God cannot look upon sin, we need the advocate in Jesus Christ. So when we repent, then God hears our prayers uninhibited. In other words, God hears the prayers of His believers, but He does not hear the prayers of the unbelievers unless they repent and seek a relationship with Him through the salvation of His Son. Unbelievers' prayers are for their will, not God's will. The God of non-Christians or unbelievers is dead. In contrast, our God is alive, and as Christians, we serve the only living God. All other gods are dead. This was proven time and again in the Old Testament, from Egypt to the Promised Land. Again, we often hear the phrase that God hears all prayers, and He does, but the prayers He hears are those for His people. If we ask according to our will, it is unlikely that God hears our prayer. However, if we ask in the name of Jesus, and we have earnestly and repented and seek things that are in concert with God's will, then the Scripture says He hears our prayers and they will be answered. Perhaps the best example for prayer in reference to God's or man's will is Jesus' own prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. In St. Matthew 26:39, Jesus says, "O my Father, if it is possible," now here He's speaking about His will, "let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." Now He's back in concert with God. This was Jesus' best example of prayer, showing us that if we pray for God's will, not ours, it will be fulfilled. Then Jesus tells us, "Ye shall receive that your joy may be full." If we were to pray for victims of disasters or the sick, then we're praying according to God's will. Are we not filled with joy when we know they are protected, healed, or saved according to the will of God? Prayers such as these bring joy to our Heavenly Father, for they fulfill the summary of the law and the two commandments, to love God with all our hearts and minds, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. When the cancer or heart victim recovers from their affliction, are we not filled with joy? When our son or daughter brings home a good report card, and when they graduate, are we not filled with tremendous joy? And when we welcome a new child into this world, are we not ecstatically joyed? When a loved one comes to know Christ as his or her personal Lord and Savior, is our joy reaching the heavens? The gospel lesson says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. These, therefore, are the fruits of the power of prayer." Yes, we live in a sometimes painful and difficult world. We bear witness to the suffering all around us, and we cannot escape it, for we read or hear about it at every turn. Nevertheless, we have a refuge in Jesus Christ. The benefits of a Christian life are twofold. They are peace that passes all understanding and an unending joy. These are the gifts of the Holy Spirit, who Jesus calls the Comforter. The world tempts us with things we are led to believe we cannot do without, but they are only temporary. Forever peace and joy and happiness are found in Jesus Christ. In closing, Lord, teach me how to pray. There is no greater prayer that reveals the power of prayer than the prayer of St. Francis of Assisi. His prayer is as follows. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. And it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. And finally, St. Paul teaches us to pray without ceasing. God wants us to pray to Him in both our troubled times and our good times. He wants to be connected to us and to be our constant companion. And I encourage you to speak to Him daily, and He will change your life for the better through the power of prayer. Thus saith the Lord, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.